Let's begin with prayer.
让我们开始祷告。
Lord, we open our hearts to you.
主，请主，我们向你敞开我们的心。
We open our minds to you.
我们把我们的意念向你敞开。
Holy Spirit, give us life and energy.
圣灵，请你给我们生命跟亮光。
And speak deeply into our hearts.
在我们心里的深处对我们说话。
We ask that in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready?
你们预备好了吗 ？Yes.
All right, we're going to start with key number one, which is recognizing God's voice as spontaneous thoughts that light up on your mind.
那我们现在要分享第一把钥匙，认清神的声音，就是从你心中自发性的意念。
Now you might notice that this is the key that we called key number three a few minutes ago, so we're changing the order.
那你们可能会发现，这个跟我们昨天所讲的呢。这是昨天的顺序，这个是第三把钥匙，但是现在我们又改变顺序了，所以认清神的声音现在是第一把钥匙了。
The reason I do that is to confuse you.
我要这样做就是为了要让你很困惑。
No, that's not the reason.
没有，我骗你们的啦。
The reason I do that is it's easier for me to teach them in this order.
那对我来说，这样教比较方便。
And all I want to say to you is the order doesn't make any difference.
那我也要对你说，其实这个顺序，四把钥匙的顺序哈，是不重要的。
The point is to use all four keys at one time.
重点是你四把钥匙要一次一起用。
Say the order doesn't make any difference.
好，一起说，次序不重要。
次序不重要。
Say the key is to use all four at one time.
要一起用四把钥匙。
All right, so God's voice is a spontaneous thought that lights up on our mind.
所以呢，神的声音就是在我们心中一个自发性的或是即时性的一个意念。
God's voice can be called Rhema.
神的话呢，声音也可以说是 Rhema.
Say the word together. Rhema. Rhema means, put an equal sign after Rhema.
在这个 Rhema 的后面就写等于。
And write down spoken word.
说出来的话 Rhema 等于说出来的话
Rhema is a Greek New Testament word that means spoken word.
Rhema 是希腊新约里面用的讲到说出来的话
You find it 70 times in the New Testament.
你在新约中会找到70处的经文讲到 Rhema.
67 times it's spoken word.
67次都是讲说出来的话。
Three times it's supernatural event.
那有三次呢是讲到超自然的事件。
When Jesus was born, that was called a Rhema event.
在耶稣出生的时候那是一个Rhema的超自然的事件。
The New Testament says when Jesus speaks, it's called Rhema.
那这个新约讲到当耶稣说话的时候那就是一个 Rhema.
When you and I speak, it's called Rhema.
当我们讲话的时候也是 Rhema.
And when demons speak, it's also called Rhema.
那邪灵讲话也是叫 Rhema.
So Rhema is simply spoken word regardless of who's doing the talking.
所以 Rhema 就是指说出来的话不管说的是谁。
And Logos is a larger word.
那 Logos 就是一个更大范围的。
Logos takes in the entire communication process.
那 Logo 呢是讲到整个的一个过程。
Where I think about what I want to say,
当我想到我要说的
I actually say it,
我就说出来
You hear it,
你听到了
You comprehend it,
你也懂了
That entire process is logos.
那整个这个过程就叫做 logos.
The subcategory is Rhema.
那这个 Rhema 呢就单单指说出来的话
When words leave my lips, that's the Rhema part of logos.
当话语从我的口中出来的时候，那个时候就成为了 Rhema.
So when God is speaking to you in your journaling, you can call that a Rhema.
所以当神呢在透过你的属灵日记对你说话的时候，你可以说那是一个 Rhema.
And Rhema sensed as a spontaneous idea, thought, feeling, word, or a vision.
那 Rhema 呢就好像是一道意念、想法、话语、感觉或意象。
We're going to say that the key word there is spontaneous.
那我们要说这里的重点是一个自发性的意念。
We're going to say that thoughts from our mind are analytical.
那在我们的意念里面有一些是属于分析式的。
And thoughts from our heart are spontaneous.
但是从我心中发出来的意念，那个是一个自发性的。
So if I want to move from Mark Verkler's thinking to my heart,
所以如果我想要从我的思想里面跳到我的心里，
I move from analysis to spontaneity.
我就是从分析式的这个思想要转到一个自发性的意念里。
Biblical meditation combines analysis and spontaneity together.
当我们在做圣经的默想的时候呢，其实就是综合了思想的分析以及我们自发性的意念。
How many of you have read the Bible and had a verse leap off the page and hit you between the eyes?
有多少人有这个经验？当我们读圣经的时候，突然一段经文里面有几个字会跳出来，浮现在我们的眼前。
Amen.
Amen.
How many found that was very anointed?
有没有人发现那个时候那几个字是非常有恩膏的？
Amen. And a lot of fun.
也非常有趣。
Amen.
Amen.
How many have read the Bible had no verse leap off the page, just black and white print?
那有多少人读圣经的时候，每一次都是白纸黑字，从来没有字跳出来过的？
Yes.
有没有？
Yes.
Yes.
Anyone?
有没有任何人？
How many find that's not anywhere near as much fun?
那有没有人觉得你读圣经都是白纸黑字，实在很无趣？
Would you like to know how to get verses to leap off the page every time you read the Bible?
你想不想知道每一次读圣经的时候都有字会跳出来的秘诀？
Yes.
Amen.
Let me see if I can help you do that.
那我看看我可不可以帮你。
Is it good to study the Bible?
读圣经是不是很棒？
Yes. Is there a verse that says that?
也的确有一处经文是这样说的。
Yes.Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed.
就是你要读你的话，读神的话，这并没有什么羞耻。
2 Timothy 2:15.
在这个提摩太后书二章十五节。
However, I found the newer translations of the Bible do not say study in that word verse.
那我看到这个提摩太后书二章十五节，这个其实它真正的翻译并不是这个意思。
I have the New American Standard Version.
我有一个这个新美国的这个版本。
And mine says, be diligent to present yourself unto God.
那他说的是说在神的面前你要非常的殷勤。
So it doesn't say study at all, it says be diligent.
所以他上面讲的并不是要研读神的圣经，而是说要在神的面前殷勤。
And in the Greek, the real meaning is be diligent.
在希腊文的原文，它的意思是要殷勤的意思。
And that's a significant difference.
这是非常不同的。
Because study is a function of the left side of my brain.
因为研读呢，是在我左脑的功能。
It's my reason being applied to scripture.
是用我的这个思想的分析性用在读圣经上。
Diligence is a function of my heart.
但是竭力呢，尽力呢，殷勤呢是在我的心里面的功能。
My wife suggested a definition for heart, which is the best that I've ever heard.
那我太太对于心的这个定义是我听过最好的一个定义。
We had just looked up all 1,200 verses on heart and spirit, so we could understand it.
我们查了十二处有关心跟灵的这样的经文。
She said heart is underlying attitudes.
那她就说呢，这个心的解释就是一个态度，然后下面还要画一条线。
Underlying motivations,
就是呢，这个讲到你的动机，下面再画一条线。
And underlying character traits,
然后还有就是你的这个品格，下面再画一条线。
I could have a meek heart, or a quiet heart.
我可以有一个平静安稳的心。
The Bible said I can have a hot heart.
圣经也说我可以有一个热情的心。
I could have a gentle heart.
我可以有一个温和的心。
These are attitudes, motivations, and character traits.
这一些呢，都是我们的态度跟我们的动机。
So diligence is an attitude.
所以呢，竭力呢，是一个态度。
So the Bible says, come to the Bible with a properly postured heart.
所以他的意思就是说，当你来到神的话语的面前呢，来到神的面前，你要有一个很热情的、很竭力的心。
That is completely different than saying, come with a fully engaged left brain.
那不是说用你的左脑来到主的面前。
My suggestion is, when I come with a fully engaged left brain, verses don't leap off the page.
我的经验就是，如果我只用左脑来读圣经， 那个都是白纸黑字，不会有字跳出来。
And when I come with a properly postured heart, verses do leap off the page.
但是我用一个对的一个态度，这样竭力的来到神的面前的时候，就常常会看到这个话语跳出来。
So I said to God, "Fine, this verse doesn't say study, but I'm sure many other verses say study."
所以我就跟神说，好吧，如果你说这一节经文上面并不是讲到要研读那个话。那我相信别的地方一定可以找到这种话。
I looked in the King James Bible and found only three verses say study.
那我就找那个 King James 的这个版本呢，找到三个地方的经文有讲到。
And one is this verse here, which was not really study; it was be diligent.
那在这个其中有一个就是这个提摩太后书二章十五节这里的，他讲的根本就不是这个尽力研读，而是指竭力。
Another verse that says study is Ecclesiastes 12:12.
另外一个地方讲的地方是那个传道书十二章十二节。
It says, "Too much study causes weariness of the flesh."
那讲到那个著书多使你身体疲倦。
It gets you tired out.
让你非常疲倦。
And all the right-brainers said, "Yes, I knew it."
然后所有的右脑的人都会说，对，我就知道。
And now I have scripture saying you shouldn't study because it tires you out.
那你就会说，对，我就知道不要这样子研读，要不然你就会很疲倦。
So all the right brainers are happy right now.
所以呢，现在所有的这个用右脑人都会很快乐。
And the left brainers don't like me anymore.
然后呢，在我们当中，你常常用左脑的人，你就开始不喜欢我了。
Well, there's one other verse that does say study.
那当然有一节的经文是有讲到研读。
First Thessalonians 4:11.
就是哥林多西书closing.
First Thessalonians 4:11.
四章十一节，帖撒罗尼迦前书。
And that verse says.
那一节说。
Study to live a quiet and peaceable life.
要过一个这个安静的这个生活。
In the Greek, it's not study; it's be diligent.
在希腊文的意思，它也是这一个要这个尽力的意思，而不是要研读的意思。
Which means there is no verse in the Bible saying I should study it.
所以其实没有一节经文在圣经是说要研读。
I don't know if that bothers you, but it might.
我不知道它会不会让你觉得很困扰，但是对我来说是很困扰。
I went to college and we studied.
我上大学就是研读书啊。
I memorized that verse study and I studied the Bible for years.
然后我也上了圣经学院啊，也背诵这些经文啊。
And now I find there is no command in the Bible to study it.
那然后我现在竟然发现圣经里面没有经文讲到是要叫我要研读。
Or to study anything.
或是要读什么都没有说。
I really hate it when I memorize a verse and the verse is misinterpreted and I memorize it wrong.
那我当我想到呢，我记背诵的这些经文竟然翻译是错的时候，我就很觉得很困扰。
Because then I'm doing the wrong thing in life.
因为就导致我整个生活的态度是错误的。
So I got upset with God and said, "God, you missed the brilliance of my wonderful brain."
所以呢，我就跟神说，神啊，这样子你就错失了我这个这么优秀的左脑。
I said, "You should have recommended that I use it."
我说，神啊，你应该呢至少讲一讲，让我要用一下左脑嘛。
He said, "I've got something better than study."
那神就告诉我说，我有比研读更好的方法。
Can you tell me what is the biblical counterpart to study?
那神就问我说，你知不知道圣经里面的这一个最好的方法是什么？
Meditate on my word day and night.
神就说是在诗篇第一篇里面讲到昼夜默想思想我的话语。
Joshua 1:8 commands us to meditate on the Bible.
在约书亚书第一章有叫我们要这个读这个。
There are 20 commands in the Bible to meditate on it.
有二十处的这个命令是讲到要我们要默想神的话。
Here's my guess.
这是我的想法。
When I study, verses don't leap off the page.
当我在研读圣经的时候，就是白纸黑字，不会有字跳出来在我的眼前。
And when I meditate, verses do leap off the page.
当我默想圣经经文的时候呢，就会有字从上面跳出来。
Would you like to know the difference between study versus meditation?
你想知道研读圣经跟默想圣经的不同吗？
Turn, if you will, over to page 12.
那我们翻到十二页。
page 12. Do you have we have a chart on Western study.
我们有一个西方对研究的观点。
And the second line down says it's man's use of his rational abilities.
这里讲到西方对研究的观点是定义是人类如何使用思考的能力。
Would you circle the word man's?
请你把人类这两个字圈起来。
It's me taking my mind and me using it myself.
这个意思就是说我们是依靠自己用自己的能力。
And I think that's wrong.
那我觉得这是错的。
Because the Bible clearly says, I no longer live.
因为圣经清楚告诉我们,如今活的不再是我。
I have been crucified with Christ, and it's not me living, it's Jesus living.
我已经与耶稣同钉十字架,如今活的不再是我,乃是耶稣。
And so what I should be doing is saying, Jesus, would you use my rational abilities?
所以呢,我应该做的是求耶稣来使用我的分析理性。
And in a few moments, I want to define for you exactly what that feels like.
那我接下来就是要来定义这个。
Can we turn to the page 13?
那我们再翻到13页。
It's biblical meditation.
这里是讲到合乎圣经的默想。
And the second line down from the top,
那在第二个这个主旨上写,
says it's the Holy Spirit's use of every faculty in our heart and mind.
他说圣灵运用人的心与意念的能力。
Would you underline Holy Spirit's use?
你请你把圣灵在下面做一条线,
Now what we did is we looked up the definition of meditate and meditation in Hebrew and Greek.
那我们现在要来看默想,就这个希腊文跟希伯来文的意思。
And we pulled the definition and put it in that paragraph on the top of the page.
那我们也把这些定义放在这一页的上面。
So when we meditate, we murmur, we converse with ourselves, hence aloud, speak, talk, and do some babbling.
所以呢,当我们在默想的时候,我们就是会 轻声说话,出声,自言自语,说话,交谈。
Tell me what you think babbling is.
那你告诉我什么叫做这个泉源而出的话。
What? What?
Spontaneous thought.
Could I suggest that babbling might be praying in tongues?
那我可不可以建议呢,这个 你在这个泉源而游的话,有可能是这个方言。To my
brain, it sounds like babbling.
因为呢,在我的这个脑袋听起来,
It's not really, it's me speaking in another language.
在我的脑袋听起来,好像一直有话出来,但是可能我是在讲另外一种语言。Have
you ever tried praying in tongues over the Bible?
你有没有曾经在读圣经的时候用方言祷告?
Yes?
Yes.
You find it's good?
你有没有觉得那样很有效?
It releases spirit flow.
是让你的圣,让你里面的灵可以更自由的。
Now, how would I talk and speak over the Bible?
那我要怎么在圣经里面说话?
Because the Bible's saying when I meditate, I need to be talking and speaking.
因为呢,圣经上讲到的这个默想是说,我要同时在想还要说。
How could you and I talk and speak over the Bible?
那我们要怎么透过圣经要讲又要想?
We could say, by his stripes, I, Mark Verkler, am healed.
也就是说,因他的鞭伤我得医治。
Amen?
Amen.
It's getting my mouth involved. I'm speaking scriptures out loud.
那就透过我的口呢,我就大声把这句话给宣告出来。
I could confess and declare Bible promises out loud.
那我也可以呢,把这个神的话就是 大声的这样子宣告。I
could ask questions out loud.
我也可以大声的把我的问题说出来。Why
did Habakkuk say, I'm going to keep watch to see? Why didn't he say, I'm going to listen to hear?
为什么哈巴谷可以说, 我要站在守望台上, 然后我要观看呢?
So God says, it's important for me to get my mouth involved in the learning process.
所以呢, 神告诉我说, 我的嘴里要宣告, 要讲出来, 在我整个的这个默想过程是很重要的。Because
speaking is part of creating.
因为讲出来的时候也是一个创造力。God
spoke things into being.
因为神说有就有。And
that's why I try to get you to confess things together with me.
这就是为什么我常常邀请你们跟我一起来做认罪祷告。Because
if we can speak these things together, it deepens the learning experience.
因为当我们一起来讲的时候呢, 就会让我们学习的深度就会更深。
If we go on with the definition, it says communication, mutter, and roar.
那我们再继续讲的话，就有沟通、咕哝、吼叫、
roar、
吼叫。
When's the best time to roar in your Bible meditation process?
什么时候在你这个默想的时候，你来吼叫是最好的时候？
Tell me when's the best time.
要不要猜猜看什么时候是最好的时候？
How about the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah?
比如说讲到犹大狮子的吼叫的时候，这时候来吼叫一下，是不是最好的时候？
How about when you need to roar and victory and roar and defeat the enemy?
当你在征战的时候，你要击退仇敌的时候，你在吼叫，是不是很好？
Let's say doubt, fear, and unbelief is attacking your mind.
因为怀疑、不信呢，都会来攻击我们的信心。
And you say, in the name of Jesus, I am a believer.
那你要宣告说，奉耶稣基督的名，我是一个基督徒。
Let's say it together.
让我们一起来说。
In the name of Jesus,
奉耶稣基督的名，
I am a believer.
我是基督徒。
Let's roar.
让我们一起来
吼叫。
Roar! 一起来吼叫。
Roar! Amen.
Amen.
It's a way of releasing emotion and defeating the enemy.
这是一个可以释放我们的情绪并且击败仇敌的方法。
And the interesting thing is, it's commanded.
那更有趣的是说，这是一个命令。
Does the Bible suggest we meditate or command us to meditate?
圣经是告诉我们建议我们默想还是命令我们默想？
Command. So if you're not roaring,Repent and get on with it and begin to roar.
所以如果你过去从来没有吼叫的，请你现在悔改，然后开始吼叫。
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we either do it God's way or we don't.
也就是说，我们要不就要选择神的方法，要不然就没有什么方法。
It's like it's part of an emotional release.
这是我们情绪中的一个释放。
And God's into emotions.
而神是很在乎情绪。
And he likes us to celebrate and release our emotions in his presence.
那当神的同在的时候，他很希望我们可以释放我们的情绪，然后欢喜快乐在他的面前。
I spent a lot of time journaling about my emotions during the first year of my journaling.
在我第一年写属灵日记的时候，我花了很多时间，就是了解我的情绪。
Because personally, I had cut off all emotions in order to be a good Christian.
因为呢，在我信主之后呢，我就觉得说，要成为一个好的基督徒呢，不能有情绪。
I didn't have very many emotions to start with.
所以呢，我一开始就没有什么情绪。
And the ones I had, I cut off because they were soulish.
因为呢，假设我有情绪呢，我就立刻拒绝它，因为那是属魂的。
I didn't want to be soulish. I wanted to be spiritual.
我希望呢是属灵的，不是属魂的。
So I cut off my emotions.
所以我就呢拒绝我的情绪。
I was a robot for Jesus.
我是一个耶稣的这个机器人。
Now I couldn't cherish my wife because cherishing's an emotion.
那因此我也不可能真爱我的太太，因为呢，真爱、宠爱这种也是一种情绪。
So I told my wife I loved her with agape love.
所以我告诉我的太太，我是用属神的爱来爱你。
I would lay my life down for her.
我会为你舍命。
But I couldn't cherish her.
但是我不可以，就是说钟爱你。
Anyone know what happens to a woman who's not cherished by her husband?
你知道一个从来没有被称赞过的太太会是怎么样吗？
She kind of wilts and dries up.
她就开始枯干。
So my wife wilted.
所以我的太太就枯干枯萎了。
And she got depressed.
然后她就沮丧。
And I noticed that.
我也注意到了。
So I said, let me give you some counsel.
那我就跟她说，让我来辅导你。
And she said, get away from me.
她说滚开吧。
I said, that's not a good attitude.
我说这个回答好像不太友善。
Well, if I wouldn't have crushed my wife's spirit, she wouldn't have been so wounded.
如果我不是因为拒绝我的情绪，至于使我太太的这个灵里受压，她就不会变得这样。
But I crushed my wife's spirit because I had bad theology.
那我呢，就压伤我太太的灵，因为我有不对 的神学基础。
My theology said there's no emotions in your spirit.
因为我的神学这个观念告诉我，在我的灵里面没有情绪。
And that's a lie.
这是一个谎言。
God sent Ezekiel embittered in the rage of his spirit.
因为呢，神说那个以西结呢，他在他的灵里呢，那样非常的痛苦的祷告。
Bitterness is an emotion.
那个痛苦是一个这个情绪。
Rage is an emotion.
愤怒也是一个情绪。
And it was in his spirit.
但是是在他的灵里面。
You can find that in the first three chapters of Ezekiel.
你可以在以西结书的前三章里面找到这些经文。
Jesus moved by compassion healed.
耶稣是因着他的怜悯来医治人。
Compassion is an emotion.
怜悯是一种情绪。
And it's directing Jesus' ministry.
而且怜悯就一直在这个耶稣的服事中可以看到。
And so Jesus restored emotion to me.
所以耶稣呢也恢复了我的情绪。
The day it started was when he gave me a vision of my head against his chest and he's caressing my hair.
那呢这个是他怎么改变我，就从他给我看到一个意象，就是我在他的胸前，然后呢他就用他的手来触摸我的头发。
Now trust me, no man's ever done that in my whole life.
你要相信我，在我的生命中从来没有发现男人会这样做的。
And Jesus said to me, Mark, tenderness is okay.
那耶稣就告诉我说 ,Mark, 温柔是可以的。
And he restored emotion to me.
那他就把我的情绪恢复过来。
After I had not had it for more than 10 years, I had not had emotion for 10 years.
因为在那之前我已经差不多有十年都没有情绪。
He said, I want you to do three things to restore emotion.
他就告诉我说我希望你做三件事来恢复你的情绪。
He said, I want you to read through the Gospels and see that Jesus moved by compassion healed.
我要你查考这个福音书，看到耶稣的每一个这个医治的行动都是出于他的怜悯。
And I want you to learn it's okay to allow divine emotions to bubble up within you and to lead you in ministry.
那呢，我也要你学习呢，你可以来让你里面属神的这个情绪呢，可以释放出来，然后在你的服事中由这些情绪来带领你。
He said the second thing I want you to do is read through the Psalms and notice how David processed his emotions.
那神就告诉我说，第二件事，你就是读那个圣经里面的诗篇，看大卫他怎么在诗篇中把他的情绪表达出来那个过程。
David would come to God and express all of his emotions.
大卫呢，在神的面前，他会把他所有的情绪都抒发出来。
He would say, God, I'm angry.
他会跟神说，神啊，我真生气。
Or else he was excited.
或是他非常兴奋。
And God was able to handle all of his emotions.
然后神都可以处理他所有的情绪。
Some of the prophets even got mad at God.
那在圣经里面有一些先知甚至就是都对神生气。
In Habakkuk,
在哈巴谷,
we find that Habakkuk gets angry with God.
我们看到哈巴谷呢，他就对神非常的生气。
In Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 and 2,
在哈巴谷书一章一节。
Here's what it says.It says, this is the oracle. What do we need, a Bible? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1.
Habakkuk 的一章一节。
Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1.
哈巴谷书的一章一节，先知哈巴谷所得的默示。
This is the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw.
这是这个先知哈巴谷所看到的意象。
So it's a burden in his spirit, which is an emotion.
所以呢，这是他里面的一个负担，这是一个情绪。
And visions also involve he's seeing with the eyes of his heart.
那这个情绪也是因为他的眼睛看到了这个意象。
He says, "How long, O Lord, will I call out to you for help, and you do not hear?"
他说，耶和华，我呼求你，你不应允，要到几时呢？
I cry out to you violence and you do not save.
我因强暴哀求你，你还不拯救。
Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness?
你为什么使我看见罪孽？你为何看着奸恶而不理呢？
Verse
4. 第四节。
The law is ignored, justice is never upheld, the wicked surround the righteous, justice comes out perverted.
公理也不显明，恶人围困一人，所以公理显然颠倒。
He's mad at God.
他对神非常生气。
He's saying, "You tell me you're the righteous ruler."
他说，神啊，你说你是公义的这个统治者。
And you're allowing the Chaldeans, that wicked people, to surround us and destroy us.
但是你竟然允许这些恶人环绕我们，攻击我们，毁坏我们。
Don't tell me you're righteous.
不要告诉我你是公义的。
He's expressing his emotion openly to God.
他是公开的把他的这个情绪愤怒向神表达。
And God said, Mark, that's okay.
所以神就透过这个经文对我说 ,Mark, 你向我表达这样的情绪是可以的。
When you can be real with me, I can be real back to you.
当你对我很真实的时候我也可以对你很真实。
And when you feel you have to put a facade on, then I cannot be real back to you.
如果呢你要戴上这个面罩来看我就不能对你真实。
So I've learned I can be completely real with God.
所以我就知道说我可以向神完全真实。
I don't have to pretend anything.
我不需要在他的面前假装。
Amen.
Amen.
I have seen some of my students write journaling almost like this.
我看到很多学生呢，他写的这个属灵日记几乎就跟哈巴谷书这样上面写的一样。
They had been abused sexually for many years by many men.
他们曾经呢，就是被很多人这个性的这个abuse
sexually molested.
性侵犯许多年。
And this woman was angry with God.
这个女人呢，她就对神非常的生气。
And in her journaling, she said, "Where were you for 10 years when men sexually molested me?"
她就对神说，在过去十年，我受到这个性侵犯的时候，你都在哪里呢？
You tell me I should trust you. Where were you?
你说我应该信任你，但是当我受害的时候，你在哪里呢？
And the Lord came and put His arms around her and held her.
那么神就靠近她，就把手环绕在她的肩膀上，抱着她。
And she beat on his chest with anger in her fist.
然后呢，这个女生就打，就是打这个神的这个胸膛。
And she released all of her anger to him.
然后她就发泄了她所有的愤怒在主的身上。
And he held her.
然后主还是抱着她。
And he spoke words of life to her.
她就对她说，主就对她说这个生命的话。
And those words were there in her journaling.
这些话就在她的属灵日记中。
And she said this.
她这样说
She had been in therapy for 10 years.
她已经经过十年的医治。
And more healing occurred in that one emotional release with Jesus than in all 10 years of therapy.
那一次耶稣对她说的话超过她过去十年所做的所有的这个医治。
Amen.
Amen.
We can be, say, I can be real with God.
那我们一起说我们可以向主真实。向主真实。
Say, God can handle my emotions.
说神可以处理我的情绪。
Say, God gave me my emotions.
求神给我情绪。
Say, God wants to fill my emotions with His emotions.
神请你把你的情绪放在我的情绪里面。
Say, I choose to receive divine emotions.
我选择神圣的情绪。
I choose to release divine emotions.
我也选择释放属神的情绪。
I am not afraid of emotions.
我不再惧怕情绪。
I will look to Jesus.
我要注视耶稣。
I will ask him to give me his emotions.
我要求耶稣给我他的情绪。
I'll receive his emotions.
我要接受耶稣的情绪。
And I'll release them to the world.
我要释放耶稣的情绪到我周遭。
Thank you, Jesus.
感谢耶稣。
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
It's almost time for a roar.
现在是吼叫的时间了。
Roar! Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
谢谢你们。
All right, so we're looking at the definition of meditation.
所以我们刚刚在看这个默想的定义。
We found that we can roar.
我们发现我们可以吼叫。
Wait, the next word is mourn.
下一个字是哀悼。
When's the best time to mourn in your Bible meditation process?
在你默想的时候，什么时候是最好哀悼的时候？
When the Holy Spirit convicts you of a sin.
当圣灵让你知罪的时候，那是最好哀悼的时候。
And you get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry.
你就跪下来跟神祷告说，主啊，对不起。
Next phrase is a murmuring sound.
下一个是低声，低声说话。
A musical notation.
是比如说像乐谱。
Soft, quiet music in the background can assist in receiving revelation knowledge.
你的背景音乐放一些这些柔和的音乐，可以帮助你领受从神来的声音。
The next word is to study.
下一个呢是这个研究。
Study is acceptable if it's a subcomponent part to a larger process.
所以呢，在整个默想的过程中，你要研究一个经文，在整个过程中，这个是可以被接受的。
And the larger process is what?
那更大的这个过程是什么呢？
Meditation.
就是默想。
So, that means I wrap Western study with all the words in this definition.
也就是说，我把这个西方的这个思想的方法呢，就用这个合乎圣经的默想，全部都把它包括在里面。
So I'm going to ponder, I'm going to revolve in the mind, and I'm going to imagine.
所以呢，我就要在脑中思想，然后我要想象。
Imagination, which hemisphere of the brain is that?
那想象力是在我们左右脑的哪一个脑的功能？
Right.
Right.
Okay, right. So when God studies, he says, don't just use the left side of your brain, use the right side also.
所以呢，其实就是神在建议我们，我们在默想的时候，不要只用左脑，也要用右脑。
He said, I want you to picture these scenes.
他说呢，我要你能够在脑海中有这些经文的图画。
And finally, pray, prayer, reflection, and devotion.
那再来呢，就是以你的祷告来回应这个经文。
So if I took all those words and wrap them around a person's mind,
所以呢，如果我把这些定义的字呢，都放在一个人脑海里。
I find that in biblical meditation, every part of each hemisphere is in use.
那我就发现说，其实呢，在合乎圣经的默想里面，你左右脑的能力其实都要发挥在这当中。
And the one who's using them is the Holy Spirit in my heart.
因为那个可以用我们左右脑同时来使用的是圣灵在我们的心中。
Because prayer is a part of biblical meditation.
因为呢，祷告呢也是这一个就是默想回应的一部分。
Do you think that process is better than me using one faculty in one hemisphere?
你想这样子的这种默想是不是比我们只用一边的脑袋再去研读圣经好？
Amen.
Amen.
I do too.
我也是这样看见。
So here's my confession.
所以这是我的悔改。
How about if we say it together?
让我们一起来祷告。
I choose biblical meditation.
我选择合乎圣经的默想。
Over Western study.
超过西式的西方式的想思考能力。
I choose revelation knowledge.
我选择领受启示。
More than I choose reasoned knowledge.
胜于理性的分析。
I choose anointed reasoning.
我选择被恩膏过的理性。
Rather than my own reasoning.
胜于我自己的思考能力。
Jesus, guide me into this.
耶稣，请你带领我。
Amen.
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 A good confession.
这是一个非常好的这个祷告。
I'd like you to go back to page 7 for just one moment, please.
我们要先回到第七页一下。
On the bottom of the page, on the left side, under the box, it says reasoning.
在这个左下页有一个理性思考。
I would like to suggest to you how I allow the Holy Spirit to use my reasoning capacity.
我要跟你分享我怎么样圣灵来使用我的理性思考。
Would you write under that box, spirit-led reasoning?
你可不可以在理性思考下画一条线，然后写让圣灵引导。
Page 7 on the bottom.
第七页下方，左下方。
Page 7 on the bottom.
第七页左下方理性思考
Spirit-led reasoning equals
就是把这个理性思考下面画一条线然后下面写等于
equals reasoning guided by flow
等于被圣灵引导的理性的流
Spirit-led reasoning equals
理性思考等于
reasoning guided by flow
就是我的理性被圣灵来引导。
And of course, that flow is the flow of the Holy Spirit.
那当然，这一个圣灵的流呢，就是从圣灵来的。
For example,
比如说
，How many of you have had quickened reasoning?
在我们当中有多少人有很快的这个理性思考
？All of a sudden, a brilliant solution flashes into your mind that you had not thought up.
就是突然之间可能就有一个非常棒的解决事情的方法突然从你的脑海中出现
If you've experienced that, say amen.
如果你有经历过请你说 Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's anointed reasoning.
那就是被这个圣灵的流恩膏过的理性思考
Reasoning guided by the flow of the Holy Spirit.
圣灵思考但是要被这个圣灵引导
If I want that kind of reasoning, here's what I do.
所以如果我希望有这样的理性思考我就会这么做
I say, Jesus, would you help me think this through?
我就说耶稣请你帮助我来思考这件事
I picture Jesus here next to me because the Bible says he is here next to me
那我就想象耶稣坐在我的右边因为圣经上说耶稣坐在我的旁边
I fix my eyes on Jesus
我把我的眼目聚焦在耶稣的身上
And he and I together are trying to solve the problem
然后他跟我一起来想要解决这个问题
And I tune to flow
然后呢我就把我转向这个流
and a flow of wonderful ideas flow into my mind
然后就会有那些自发性的解决方法就流到我的思想里来
Now that's the way I allow the left side of my brain to be used
那就是我现在允许我的左边的脑被神使用的方法
I never say Mark figure it out
我从来不会说 Mark 你自己想清楚
and I look at my own abilities and my own strength
那就是我在用我自己的力量来解决问题。
I don't do that because Mark Berkler is dead.
我不这样做，因为 Mark 应该已经是在十字架上跟耶稣一起死了。
So I'm not going to go back and resurrect a dead person.
所以我不会再回去把 Mark 救活。
I'm going to do what Paul did. I'm going to die daily.
那我要做的就是每天都要死在十字架上。
Let me give you a biblical example of a man doing this.
那我给你一个圣经的例子。
Write down Luke 1:1-3.
那请记下路加福音一章的一到三节。
Luke 1:1-3.
路加福音一章一到三节。
Luke says, "Here's how I got my gospel."
那路加就说呢，这是我怎么写下的这本书。
He says, "Having investigated everything carefully, I've written it out in consecutive order."
他说呢我是照着在我们中间所成就的事照着传道人从起初亲眼看见又传给我们的我从这起头都详细考察了所以就定义要按着次序写给你
You tell me, do you think he's using reason and analysis as he writes his gospel?
那你想他是不是只是用他的理性思考来做这件事
Having investigated everything carefully, I've laid it out in order.
那所有的事他都考察过了，又把这些事照着次序写下来。
Is there reason and logic in that?
是不是有理性也有分析 ？Yes.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
对，在这里面有理性跟分析。
Question: Does the gospel he write turn out to be perfect with no mistakes in it?
那请问的是，他写出来的福音书是不是是完美、没有错误的
？Yes，
是不是 ？Yes。
Can man through his logic write a gospel that has no mistakes in it？
如果只用人的理性思考，可不可以写出一本东西福音书是完全没有错误的呢
？No。What needs to be coupled with man's logic to get a gospel with no mistakes in it?
如果要跟人的理性思考合作，写出一个无误的福音书
，the flow of the Holy Spirit
必须要靠圣灵的流。
Does the Bible say the flow of the Holy Spirit guided these people as they wrote?
那圣经上有没有说，当这些人在写福音书的时候，是圣灵的流在引导他们
？Yes.
是的。
The verse that says that is 2 Timothy 3:16.
这是在这个提摩太后书的三章十六节那边讲到的。
It says all scriptures inspired by God.
说到所有圣经都是神的默示。
So we have two things happening.
所以我们有两件事发生。
We have careful reasoning.
我们有仔细的这个理性分析。
That's coupled with divine flow.
然后跟这个圣这个圣灵一起工作。
What would we call that?
那我们叫这个是什么呢？
I'm going to call it spirit-led reasoning.
我就说它是蒙圣灵引导的圣理性思考。
Would you write down Isaiah 1:18?
你写下以赛亚书一章十八节。
Come, let us reason together.
这里说，让我们来辩论。
The only command in the whole Bible to reason is in that verse.
在整个圣经上讲到可以跟神辩论的只有这一节经文。
The only time God asks you or me to reason is if we do it with Him in the mix.
那唯一的一处就是在这个地方讲到。
So I'm not allowed to reason on my own.
所以呢，其实我们并不被神允许用我们自己的理性思考，靠我们自己的力量去解决问题。
So I have not reasoned on my own for 30 years.
所以我已经不只靠我自己的力量来做这个思考分析三十年之久了。
This is how I present the left side of my brain to the Holy Spirit to use.
这是呢，我把我自己的左脑的功能交给圣灵，让神来使用。
If this makes sense, say amen.
如果你觉得合理，请你说 amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. If you want to do this, say I want to do this.
如果你想说，就请你说我也要这样做，我也要这样做。
Say I choose spirit-led reasoning.
就说。我选择被圣灵引导的理性思考。
I ask God to guide my reasoning process.
我请求神来带领我的理性思考。
Thank you, Jesus.
感谢耶稣。
Amen.
Amen.
Now, how about the right side of our brain? How do we present that to the Holy Spirit?
那我们要怎么把我们的右脑的功能献给神呢？
Would you write under the box of imagination, say, spirit-led pictures?
那请你把那个想象下面画一条线，下面写等于圣灵引导的图画。
Spirit-led pictures equals
想象。画一条线就等于圣灵引导的图画。
Pictures guided by flow.
这个图画是圣灵的流所带领你的。
It's pictures guided by the flow of the Holy Spirit.
这个是你的图画是从圣灵的带领里面得到的。
An example of that is Revelation 1, 10 and 11.
这呢在启示录一章十到十一节里面有例子。
Revelation 1, 10 and 11.
启示录一章十节到十一节。
Here's how John got his book.
这是呢，约翰怎么写下启示录。
He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
他说，当主日我被圣灵感动。
I heard a voice saying, write in the book what you see.
我听见在我后面有大声音如吹号说。
Is John using reason or analysis to write the book of Revelation?
那么约翰他是用理性思考还是用他的右脑来写他圣灵的引导来写他的启示录呢？
No. He's just tuned to flow, watching pictures and writing.
他呢就是呢把自己的这个调向这个圣灵的流，然后双眼注视意象，然后写下这个启示录。
So that's another way that you and I can receive revelation knowledge.
这是我们另外一个可以得到启示的这个方式。
Right brainers are going to use John's approach.
右脑的人呢，就可以用这个约翰的这种方式。
Left brainers are going to use Luke's approach.
那左脑的人呢，你们就可以用这个路加的这个方式。
And if you learn how to shift hemispheres back and forth, then you can write a book from either side of your brain.
那如果你学会了很容易，怎么从右脑转到左脑，左脑又转到右脑，这两类的书你都可以写。
So the only way I allow the right side of my brain to be used is I say, Holy Spirit, will you give me pictures?
所以呢，当我呢让我的右脑发生功效的时候，我就会说：圣灵，请你来让我可以看见图画。
It's no harder to ask the Holy Spirit to give you pictures than it is to imagine things on your own.
那么呢，请圣灵来给你图画呢，比你自己要想象呢是更容易的多。
How many have had pictures pop into your mind that were very wonderful solutions to problems?
有多少人在我们当中呢？你常常会有图画就出现在脑海中，而那个图画就刚好给你一个非常好解决这个问题的答案。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back to page 10 if we can.
那我们再翻到第十页。
I think we should go to page 14.
那我想我们先到十四页。
I'd like us to journal.
我想要做带大家做一个属灵日记操练。
We can come back to page 10 in a few minutes.
那我们等一下再回到第十页。
Let's do a journaling application session.
让我们来做这一个属灵的这个日记。
Top of page 14, we'll take 5 or 10 minutes. We'll complete the journaling exercise below.
第十四页，我们做这个操练需要5到10分钟。
We'll write down a question we'd like to ask the Lord. It could be any question we choose, as long as it's not one of the most traumatic questions of our life.
那我们可以写下一个我们想要问主的问题，但是只要这个问题是可以是任何问题，只要不是最让你这个伤痛的问题。
Because the Bible doesn't say be traumatized and know that I'm God.
因为圣经上没有说你要非常伤痛就知道我是神。
It says be still and know that I'm God.
因为圣经上说你要平静安稳知道我是神。
So don't ask him who you're going to marry or when the end of the world is coming.
所以不要问神世界末日是什么时候，也不要问神谁是你的结婚对象。
Because I don't want you all uptight here.
因为我不希望你们在这里就紧张起来。
I have given you 3 questions in the middle of this paragraph.
我给了大家建议的三个问题。
You could ask him, Lord, do you love me?
你可以问主啊，你爱我吗？
Or how do you see me?
或是你如何看待我？
Or what would you like to say to me?
或者是说你要对我说什么？
Why don't you underline one of those 3 questions you want to ask the Lord?
我建议你在这三个问题里面选一个，然后你在下面画一条线。
Lord, do you love me?
主啊，你爱我吗？
How do you see me?
你如何看我？
What would you like to say to me?
你要对我说什么?
And I want to come back and lead us in a prayer time in just a moment.
然后我会先给大家时间，然后之后再带大家祷告。
Holy Spirit, we invite you to be present during this time.
圣灵，我们求你来这里掌权。
We ask that you will grant each one of us the ability to hear God's voice.
求你赐给我们每一个人听到你声音的力量。
And to see vision.
也可以看到异象。
We ask that you grant us access before the throne of grace.
我们求你给我们来到施恩宝座前的这个力量。
We thank you for doing that.
我谢谢你。
I'd like you to see a picture in your mind's eye.
我现在希望你用心灵的眼睛看到一个图画。
It's you and Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee on a very beautiful, warm summer day.
在一个夏天有微风的这个美丽的日子里，只有你跟耶稣走在加利利的海边。
As you walk along the seashore,
当你走在海岸边的时候，
you can see the hillside of Galilee that flows down to the shore.
你可以看到加利利旁边山坡的这些小花。
There's green grass blowing gently in the breeze.
有这些绿草，还有微风。
As you look out across the surface of the Sea of Galilee,
当你看向这个加利利海这个湖面的时候，
you can see the rippling surface with the sun dancing and reflecting off from it.
你可以看到阳光照在加利利湖上，好像在那里跳舞，那个湖上的水也在跳动。
And way out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you can see a fisherman in his boat.
然后在加利利湖的中间有一条渔船，你看到上面有个渔夫。
He's spending some time alone with his creator.
他在跟他的这个创造主在那里交通。
As you look up into the sky, you can see a very beautiful, soft blue sky.
当你往上看的时候，看到一个非常柔和的蓝天。
Some soft white clouds are drifting lazily by.
有一些这个白云好像是天的花边一样在旁边。